Okay.
Broadcasting, yes.
It is 12:09 PM.
Roll call.
Call the meeting to order.
Catherine Beinkoffman.
Present.
Joanne Myers is on the phone. Charles Landy.
Here.
Lisa Mitten.
Here.
Tom, could you pronounce that for me?
Kakandis.
Kakandis. He's here. Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker.
Here.
Angelina Pioni.
Here.
Melinda France.
Here.
Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do we have any public comments? We have four people who have called in, one of which is a board member.
Here you go, Lisa.
Angie is looking on the computer to figure this out.
Yeah, if anyone needs to unmute themselves for a public comment, please do so at this time. Seeing none.
Okay. Apparently, we have no public comments. If that is not the case, somehow you're gonna have to let us know. Let's see, since Fred Wadnola is no longer on the board, there's an opening on the Audit Committee and the Finance Committee. And the committees we have, for Tom's information, would be the Audit Committee, the Finance Committee, the Governance Committee, Recycling Oversight Committee, which is not actually our committee, that's the county committee, and Zero Waste Committee. And if Tom would be interested in filling in to Fred Wadnola's places, that would be the Audit Committee and the Finance Committee. Would that interest you?
Sure.
Okay. We change every year, but, you know, we can often change if things come along and you think you'd rather do something different. Okay. So Tom Kakandis will now officially be a member of the Audit Committee with Charlie Landy and myself, and the Finance Committee with Charlie Landy and Lisa Mitten. Let's see, we have the minutes from March 29th, 2021, from our regular board meeting. I had one correction, which I gave to Melinda. Does anyone else have any comments or things to point out?
Vote to approve the minutes.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move it, Madam Chairman.
Okay, so Charlie's going to move. And do I hear a second?
Second.
Tom?
Second.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Catherine Beinkoffner?
Aye.
Joanne Myers?
Joanne? Can you hear us to vote? Can you unmute? One minute and 50.
Charles Landy?
Here, yes.
Lisa Mitten?
Aye.
Tom Kakandis?
Aye.
Passes 4-0 with one abstention.
Okay. Let's see, communications and announcements. The Zero Waste Committee is scheduled to meet next Monday, May 3rd, at 12 noon. And I don't know if we've decided.
Well, could I propose that be moved to that Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday at 12 noon in lieu of that Monday?
We'll have to talk to Joanne.
Yeah, I think Joanne, her schedule, she had sent me that she was not available. I thought it was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but she was not available.
She has a really heavy schedule. Do you want to postpone until the following Monday?
Yeah, you can make time. But I know she was out on Monday.
I could do like 2 o'clock on that Monday.
Okay, that would probably work. I think I could be available on 2 o'clock.
And she's available on Monday, so.
Is that in person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll move the Zero Waste Committee meeting to Monday, May 10th at 2 p.m. here at the agency. Then the next regular scheduled board meeting is for May 24th, which would be at 12 noon. That's also a Monday. Does that work for everybody?
Yes.
Okay, let's plan for that then. Let's see, general reports. Recycling outreach team.
Thank you. For the month of April, the Recycling Outreach Team's messaging has been supporting the launch of the Recycle Right New York campaign. That's coordinated by the New York Center for Sustainable Materials Management, hosted by SUNY ESF and sponsored by DEC. Recycle Right New York is a collaborative initiative. We are one of over 100 participating members on the steering committee for this campaign, made up of recycling professionals across the state. They're launching a first-of-its-kind statewide recycling website that was launched on Earth Day this month. That's recyclerightnewyork.org. And the site addresses recycling confusion and contamination and will be a go-to hub for recycling resources statewide. We incorporate a lot of this messaging in our month-to-month social media and outreach strategy, so we were very glad about the new website and the new branding campaign. To participate in the launch, we added a special blog post on our website. We created a new eco contact list of conservation and climate smart organizations countywide. And Melinda and I have hosted 2 seminars this month with the Recycle Right messaging and emphasizing the importance to know your local recycling guidelines. Just to emphasize the importance and the relevance of this, you know, it's estimated that recycling contamination rate in the U.S. is between 10 to 20%. Of all recycling practices. So we want everyone to recycle correctly every day, not just Earth Day, but that has been our promotion this month. And some other quick program updates. We've received our signs here for our home composting demonstration garden that's still being pieced together, but we're very excited to pull all the program supplies together. We've ordered a new media resource, a home guide for reducing food waste that's in production now. We hope to provide that for you next month. We had a hazardous waste collection event on Saturday that was very successful. We had 250 households that were participating, and they were very appreciative of the relaunch of this program. I'd also like to note that our e-waste collection program resumed this month on April 10th, and just the first 2 Saturdays, we had over 280 drop-offs. So again, residents are very appreciative of the service that's relaunching. And lastly, the agency is moving forward with plans to have the new bagging facility and education center. The site has been really ready since the fall, right, Charlie, about November, but we were waiting for permit modifications to get the approval so we can move forward now. The building has been ordered and should be coming within the next week or 2.
Correct.
And with that, any questions, I'm happy to answer.
The I got good reviews on the Highland Library presentation of various people.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we had about 33 people mm-hmm. in that class, and that was actually for the entire Ulster County Library Association. Mm-hmm. So they shared the sign up for that class countywide.
Well, I heard back from the League of Women Voters, so that was a good thing.
Great, thank you for sharing that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's see.
I noticed that you attended the Green Creating New Jobs Enterprises Through Zero Waste webinar, and I was wondering if I know that the executive, the county executive, released a Green New Deal Earth Day plan, and I'm just wondering if there's any opportunity. I didn't see anything really pertaining to waste in that, and I just like wonder. It makes me wonder.
Yeah, thank you for your question, your point there. I also participated in the county executive's speech addressing the Chamber of Commerce, the Chamber Breakfast, and I noticed that in the Green New Deal, there are several focus areas in his plan, and I was thinking to myself, and I discussed this with Tim, so many of them, you know, tangentially relate to waste and waste management, and I think that there is a lot of opportunity there to bring that aspect of, you know, climate into focus in the plan.
And that was stuff that we were going to bring up, the zero waste.
The hazardous waste, how did it go? It was at New Paltz this time, right?
Yeah, New Paltz Transfer Station.
Did we do as well as we usually do up here, or?
I would say yes. Yep.
Yes.
Oh, good. Good.
It went very smooth. It was a new location for us, not too far from the old location, which was at the DEC headquarters.
Right.
But Tim, I, Angie met with Clean Harbors the day before the event to go over where everything was going to be located and where everybody was going to be positioned, and it went extremely smooth. So there was no trailers outside or inside. It went really, really smooth. So I was very, very happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody showed up, right, Ange? Everybody that was scheduled, which is very unusual, right? That never generally happens.
We did have a couple people that had to cancel their appointment, but we didn't have very many people that showed up that didn't have an appointment, which we like to see. And that tells us that, mm-hmm. you know, what we've implemented is working really well. And everyone that makes it to the event has, you know, complied with all the program rules and criteria and things like that. We only had one person who showed up who didn't have an appointment, but they were good, and everything went really well.
And nobody showed up here thinking the waste collection was here, like that usually happens. So if we're at New Paltz, they show up here. If we're here, they show up at New Paltz. We didn't have any of that either. So that was the feedback that I received once I got back to Ulster on Saturday. So I thought that was good too. It went really well, and I think from 8 to 12, right, Ange?
Yep.
And I think for the amount of traffic we did, everybody stayed in their vehicle. Nobody was getting out to hand things to myself or to any of the Clean Harbor guys. Everybody had masks inside the building with Clean Harbor. They were dressed in Tyvek, which they usually are anyway. I got to say, it was a very good event. It was very efficient. A lot of traffic, but a reasonable, controlled. So that speaks a lot.
So Charlie, does this mean they'll fall into their regular routine of doing it every so often, like quarterly or whenever? Have they said anything?
Who's that?
Another one scheduled, right?
Yeah we have
Charlie,
three more.
Well, that's what I mean. That was my question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're doing something a little different this year because it was very, you know. I think the virus opened your eyes to a lot of different things, and we often thought about it many times, but we never really spoke about it. But changing it from the DC area to our area, because we are closed on Saturdays, kind of put the thought into our mind about the same thing here. When you got all this traffic, everybody buying compost and everything, and you have this pinch point of, you know, coming in, going out, and then going in another lane, and then coming out, and it's like, why do that? You know, we'll just open up on Sundays. We got approval from the DEC. They were very supportive of it. So now we'll have the events on Sundays, so it's just going to be HHW on Sundays with no other traffic. So
I think that's a good idea.
It's going to be very, very controlled.
Yeah.
And I think this spot down in New Paltz, our place, inside the building, not worrying about tents or rain or anything else, I think helped deal with any problems we could have as far as weather related. So I think I honestly like the New Paltz location and the Sundays here. So you guys like that too, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's gonna work out really, really well. We're still gonna do the 8 to 12 on no matter what location, right, guys? I think I'm right on this. So 8 to 12, and I think that's a good time. I think we can get a lot in and we can control it. And we're having four instead of three, so that'll take care of you know, the extra couple of hours that we're not having it, you know, on those days like we used to have. Because we used to be 8 to 2, right, Ange? So we're holding one more day, so that'll make up for the 2 hours that, you know, that we're not going to be doing it on a particular day. So I think it worked out well.
Good. And we have another date scheduled, right?
June. Yep.
June.
June will be here.
27th.
Okay. June 27th at Kingston. Okay, how about the MSW tonnage report?
Sure. So before I start, I'm wondering, Lisa brought this up to me as an inquiry, because we've always done these additional recycling report afterwards, like monthly. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you guys would prefer to just do these quarterly. I mean, I can always send out the monthly too, but as far as reporting and talking about on the board, we could do it quarterly instead of monthly. It would give us probably more chance of having something, you know, substantial to actually discuss with regards to trending and that type of stuff. Because they tend to be, as some of you know, they tend to get a little repetitive month after month. And we don't have to decide that now. You guys can let me know over the next month or whatever, but it's just a thought. Target tons for March for MSW is 10,539. Tonnage in June was actually 11,827, so we were over by 1,288. If you note, the Seneca Meadows is quite a bit less than what we actually took in, and that was because towards the end of the month, some loads carried over because the landfill they were shut down for 2 days, correct, Charlie?
Yeah.
2 days, so you know, the haulers, even though they took stuff out of here, they couldn't dump, which means they couldn't get back. But luckily, Charlie Whitaker does an excellent job with regards to contingencies and plans, so we still have no garbage on the floor, which is uber important, one of the most important things that we do. Sludge, targeted tons was 268. Our tons in were actually 333, so we had an extra 65. Year to date, we are over by 1,516 on the MSW, and we were short by 42 tons on the sludge.
And Tim, I would just like to add that it wasn't just Seneca that was closed. High Acres was closed. Ontario was closed. So, you know, it was a little bit crazier.
It was windy around here, so if anyone remembers.
Yeah.
Oh, was the wind?
Yeah, it was because of the wind litter, so the landfill's closed because they can't control or contain the litter. So,
they were
closed.
So.
And we were getting some calls as far as some other places wanting to divert some trash into us. But I don't think we've really seen anything peak up as far as volume, right, Tim? So, but we were fine. Our contracts are strong. We built in a good contingency in our contract for these kind of things. That's why we have, you know, 15 trailers on site here at Kingston, 7 of our own, 2 dump trailers, and a lot of other containers. So as long as the building's empty and we can sweep the floors every night, and the same thing with down in New Paltz, we have 9 trailers down there. I did have to divert one of our trailers down there. Later in the day because we had 35 tons left over, but we got everything off the floor at all places, so that's why we have those strong contracts in place.
Perfect. Good. Okay, how about recycling tonnage report?
Yep, so commingled glass, mixed-throughs, Kingston Card Mix, and OCC is pretty consistent with where they've been over the last 6 to 8 months. Food waste, I do want to point out to you again, we did 161.79 tons for March. And if you look at our total, 509, just shy of 510 tons, you compare that to just January of 2020. After 3 months, we haven't matched just January of last year. So food waste is down, and you know, we'll see the effect of that with regards to, you know, revenues.
Now, what is going on with the county's law that we're supposed to be getting food waste from that? Well, the maximum, the big generators are supposed to be diverting the food waste to somebody. It doesn't have to be us, but somebody who's going to be composting, right?
Yep. I was, I do know, I think it was the March meeting, Energy and Environment. Mandela Val spoke about that with regards to going back and looking at that again. If you go to their site, you can read the minutes of that meeting if you want a little more detail. We haven't seen, right, Charlie? We haven't really seen
Well, so we have not seen it, and take it one step further, we haven't gotten, I don't want to speak for Angie or Melinda, but is there any businesses, any large generators calling us, confused, wanting to know how they're going to get it to us or bring it to us or talking about how to bring it to us?
Not that I'm aware of.
I have not received any phone calls regarding notices that have gone out about the law.
So generally when there's a change in regards to any kind of waste or recycling or, you know, our procedures, generally we do get those phone calls. I know there's, and also we have our website where people can put questions on there too, right, Ange? Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything right to our website from any of those folks that are the large generators with food waste regarding the law and what to do. I don't think there's anything on there, right? Have there been any questions?
Not through our contact us.
So I don't know how effective it is or if what the infrastructure is on that, to be quite honest with you. We would like to see Ulster County doing more with food waste. I know Tim has talked about that forever. I know Angie and Melinda have talked about that also. So we're hopeful. We got our fingers crossed. You know, there should be something in place where these folks should have to recycle their food waste. So hopefully something's coming down the pipe.
So whose responsibility is it to make sure this is happening?
I think the health department.
The enforcement is the health department.
The enforcement mechanism.
So the county health department.
And Angie and I, we touched base with a month or so ago. We had a meeting with the Department of the Environment. And we were conversing on some solar stuff and in general. But, you know, we had, all of us collectively at Pet Plant on getting together and routinely having a meeting with the Department of Environment. So we can touch base with them the next time we speak too.
But Catherine, when we talk about in regards to enforcement on recycling, you know, I don't want to forget about the little redheaded kid, which is the newspaper cardboard commingle. I mean, there's for years now there's supposed to be somebody there, so when we do some kind of enforcement on recycling, you know, people come to us and what are you doing about this? Well, really, it's, you know, the only thing we can do is approach it and be very diplomatic about it and tell them what the law says. But to really enforce it, to hold them to it, is kind of really difficult. So this has been going round and round since 2008. And I think it's in the 2007 law. So the folks uptown have to start putting somebody in place.
The restaurants are ready to do it. They're waiting for a route to be established. I don't think you're going to have any problems picking it up once the route is established. And I understand the mayor is looking at that closely, but I don't have any factual information on it. So.
Yeah, I was talking in regards, in addition to the food waste enforcement, the commingled newspaper, cardboard.
Right.
You know,
right.
So we can make sure the haulers are doing the right thing, especially since they're saving a boatload of money on collections now that they don't have all these recycling trucks running around. So I want to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, but I want to make sure we have the right enforcement and we have the power to enforce it.
Mm-hmm. When was the food waste law supposed to go into effect?
January.
And then New York State goes into effect this upcoming January.
And one of the reasons why we put so much into this, and Larry was actually our monitor at the time, so he was very, very helpful for us, but Tim and I, we're very concerned that we would not have the capacity to handle all this food waste from the county law and then the state law. We did express our feelings to Larry, who is the guy we have to go through. Tim and I were concerned about it, so we put all this concrete and all this equipment in place to mitigate odors and stuff for these laws. So we're hoping that, you know, we're hoping we can get up to 5,000 tons, and we want to do a modification for 10,000 tons of food waste too. But I think we also have to show that there's a need for it, right, Les?
Right.
So it's really important that these folks, you know, start recycling food waste so we can show there's a need to actually get this modification.
I think to some extent the county has a responsibility here, only in so much as there are four state prisons in this county, and the food waste coming out of those prisons is probably greater than the restaurants in uptown Kingston. So I think between the city and the county, there should be some compromise made there as far as a route being put together is concerned. Don't forget those four prisons. They are monumental generators of food waste.
So when you say, you know, a route being put together, so who's the onus put on? Is it?
Well, I think there's some responsibility as far as the county is concerned, only in so much as those four prisons are in this county.
I agree, but when we talk about putting routes together, you know, we're talking about collections, and I don't think the county's in the collection business. So that would be, I think the onus is put on the business that generates the food waste to figure a way to get it to a compost facility, right? Am I correct on that, Ange? So I don't think it's so much of a carton issue as it is a establishment recycling food waste issue, right? Does everybody understand? So that's what I'm thinking, Charlie. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think that if the businesses don't seek out because they have to, there's not going to be a demand for a carton company to come in and look at routing for all these places. And the equipment necessary to make sure nothing's dripping all over the place while they're hauling. Mm-hmm. So I think the onus is on the business to make sure that they're following the law. Right, Ange?
If I recall correctly from all those conversations, I had the impression that a lot of the large generators who the law first applies to are actually already composting.
You're remembering correctly. About half of them are already participating in some type of composting program and food donation program. And I recall there being really only, I think I want to say like about 30 in that first cohort that was identified generating 2 tons or more. One of the challenges with the implementation of the law is the methods that are identifying the regulated community. The department was using the New York State Organic Resource Locator tool that has been updated since January 1st. So those lists of the regulated community are changing, and that'll be up to the county to determine if they'll continue to follow that methodology or develop another track independently how to identify those. Because they only could find 30, you know, and presumably there are probably much more than that. That would be in that first cohort.
The next one's July, right?
Right, so the second cohort of generators in the regulated community is supposed to be in effect July 1st. And again, the initial list of who is a regulated generator and the list that's available now, there are some discrepancies in that. So there's some things that need to be really looked at and considered with this law to tune it up and tighten it up.
So who would be looking at that, Ange, to tune it up and tighten it up?
Well, the county has the authority to develop any methods that they see fit. And at the time, they were using the same methods that the state is using statewide, which is the organic resource locator tool that I mentioned.
So it's up to
the county can continue to use the same methods as the state, or they can develop something independently.
But it's up to the county to tune it up, so to speak.
Yes.
Right? So that's so it's the county.
Yes.
So our concern would not be the 50% that's recycling it. It's the 50% that's not. That's that we would want to see being applied to the law. So I by July they should be doing this stuff, right? So we're not waiting until after July. This stuff should be going on right now as we speak.
I believe there's interest in extending the deadline past July for the reasons I just explained. There's discrepancies in which list to use and who's on that list. So I believe that there is interest to extend the deadline, to take more time to really look at fine-tuning this process.
Why is that?
Because there are discrepancies in the list of the regulated generators that are identified statewide than the list that was previously used.
Plus, I suppose schools would be pretty large generators.
Thank you, Catherine. That's a very good point.
And who knows what schools are doing right now.
Yep.
Well, the schools too, right? They're exempt from state and not our county.
Exactly. Yep.
How often do you have to move the food waste from a facility?
I'm sorry?
How often do you have to move the food waste from the facility to here or wherever it's going? Do they take it every day? Like, what do they do at the college?
We take it 6 days a week at the college.
Every day, then?
Six days.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, you would want to move food waste more often than your other solid waste.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was trying to.
My recollection is that in part 360, garbage is strictly speaking food waste as a component within solid waste. And it's also tends to be the heaviest fraction of what people have, and not anything you want to compress or load up a compactor with necessarily mixed in with other waste that just creates mess. So I guess my question, Angie, is why are we focused purely on the regulation as opposed to going to the haulers with whom we have a direct relationship, a service relationship, a close relationship, and asking them what their outreach is, what their willingness is to partner with us in educating the range of their customers that could separate food waste. There's a subsection of folks that are regulated by the county law, but if we project it as the new normal and the haulers propose it as an option, then the haulers could say, we'll pick up this little food waste container more regularly. We can let the big container sit a little longer, work it out with you so that you don't have the exposure to vermin that want to get at the food waste. I mean, removing food waste creates a better condition at any given site. I'm sure it has for the college. The college might have some experience to share that way. But if we can process the food waste and have to demonstrate a need in order to expand our capacity, let's push on the haulers that we have a relationship with.
Well, first of all, so let me just say this, right? We don't control the haulers picking up recycled food waste. So there's not a lot of money into it, right? Because it's all about routing, right? And around here, like City of Kingston's a perfect area because you got all these restaurants and stuff. And up through Woodstock, you got restaurants in close proximity of each other. But in general, they're kind of scattered all over the place. So it's really up to the business, right, to discuss with the haulers based on the need, what is the best way to get their food waste and not so expensive. Because you got to remember, if somebody has an 8-yard container and they're only getting rid of 6 yards worth of garbage and they still have 2 yards capacity and it's getting picked up twice a week, which gives them 4 yards capacity, they have plenty of room to throw their food waste away and they're already paying for it. So why would they pay a second time? So the collection of food waste is very expensive. People are pretty much paying for the capacity anyway. So these are some of the challenges that, that you have to wrestle with. So it's really up to the business to follow the law and talk with the haulers. We do, every time there's a hauler, I always talk to the haulers about, more out of curiosity than anything, because I can't tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. We can tell them to recycle plastic, cardboard, newspaper. We can't make them bring it to us. And they do have to report what they do pick up. Food waste is a different animal. So it's really, so the recycling of newspaper, cardboard, newspaper, right, is up to the hauler. We do have some say in that. They, in order to be permitted to haul in Ulster County, you have to have a recycling plan, provide the services, the tools, the equipment. Food waste is a whole different animal. It's more on the business, the restaurants, to actually get in contact with their hauler based on the law and then decide, maybe I don't need an 8-yard container twice a week. Maybe I only need a 6-yard container twice a week, because now I have to do this with my food waste. So how much would a 6-yard container be if I picked it up twice, if you picked it up twice a week versus an 8-yard container? So that's really on the hauler, on the business, and between them and the haulers, not so much us like the regular recyclable is. So plastic, cardboard, newspaper is a little different. Does that make sense? We can't make haulers do it.
That's different from asking the haulers what their communication is and encouraging them to offer.
And we do that.
Okay.
We do that.
So how can we turn that into an ongoing program in the face of a now changed legal landscape? There's nothing constraining us. We might not have the enforcement authority if it's with the Department of Health. Maybe it shouldn't be with the Department of Health. Maybe it should be. I don't know. It sounds like you're in conversation with the Department of the Environment, right? But let's take advantage of the fact that we have an operating capacity here. We have the ability to handle what is a regulated material ultimately. We don't want mishandled. We can handle it the way it's supposed to be handled, the way the regulation intends for it to be handled. The regulation pushing certain businesses into that conversation you described, Charlie,
mm-hmm.
is a subset of all of the people who could separate food waste, mm-hmm. right? So I'm suggesting that we consider going forward as an ongoing changed condition to which we can respond, the most active position that we can take. That's different from saying, I'm requiring you to do. I mean, ultimately, you don't want to get into making X or Y a condition of use of the facility. But, you know, what are we allowed to do within flow control? I mean, let's push as hard as
part of what you're saying is understandable by me. We did talk about, we have been in touch with some of the haulers that do organics only. And we did discuss flow control, right, Tim?
Yeah.
So we have been talking about that. Matter of fact, we just had a meeting. I had a phone conference with one of the managers, and we had a meeting with one of the owners of the company. So we did do that. But it's more like we're asking them to cooperate. We're not telling them they have to do it, which is completely different from the newspaper, cardboard, and coal mingle. Newspaper, mm-hmm. cardboard, and coal mingle, we also have a site for
mm-hmm.
that's underutilized. And people are still doing single stream, which I don't agree with, but they are. It's hard to compete as a dual stream hauler versus a single stream because people just want to use one container. So, but we can't tell people to go to dual stream either, and we can't make haulers go to dual stream, but we can make them recycle. Now, whether they're bringing it to Republic or they're bringing it up to Albany to one of these recycling places, or they're shipping it out to some other place, you know, we really don't have a say on that. We can only make them recycle. Back to the food waste. We can only talk to them and tell them we have capacity, but it's really up to them and the business hauler to do it. We can't make a hauler collect food waste.
Mm-hmm.
We can make them bring the food waste from Ulster County to us as an MSW flow control thing, such as you're talking,
mm-hmm.
but that's it. We're very limited on that. As far as the enforcement, mm-hmm. I think that if there's going to be some aggression, I think it's from the health department and the county standpoint. They're the folks who came up with this law. We spent a million and a half, right? With nobody telling us, make sure you do all these things so you can handle it. Nobody told Tim and I to do that. And Larry, who we went to and got a lot of cooperation from those guys. Nobody told us to do that. Because we didn't want to look like, as an authority, this law was going to go through. Everybody had all this food waste, even from the state level. And we had no place to bring it. Because now it's going to go into garbage. Because if you don't have 125 miles or 15 miles, depending on which law you're talking about, it goes into the garbage.
I hear you.
We wanted to make sure that we didn't get a black eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We put $1.5 million into it. Right, Tim? About that, right?
A little less.
And the food waste is not coming to us. So really, the county needs to jump it up. And the health department needs to jump it up. The business needs to get involved, the businesses, because it's a law.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they need to seek out these haulers and discuss, you know, their waste. They have to manage their own waste. That's not up to us.
Understood, Charlie. So, don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
No, I'm absolutely
not. The fact that you've invested in the capacity and you're ready to take it tomorrow and you're not seeing it is an opportunity, in my opinion, for the agency to take an aggressive public position and say, hey, you, and you, what are you doing? We spent the money, we're ready. We could even expand our capacity, but we're not seeing it. It's a chance to project that readiness, that pre-positioning that you went through, I'm sure, a significant effort to create, and get credit for it publicly when we might not get credit for other things, right? Play that one up. Point out who can help you and when they're not helping you, because they're going to point out when you're not doing X or Y, right? But this one is going the other direction. So let's push publicly and demonstrate that on food waste, we're ready, willing, and able, and other actors need to step up to meet our level of action. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, and but I think we're doing everything you're talking. I think what you're talking about, we are doing currently right now as we speak. I think everybody knows, right, because everything's in numbers. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about 5,000 tons of food waste last year and 3,000 tons of compost, right, because, listen, it's one thing to get the food waste coming in and making the compost, but if you're not getting rid of the compost, what's the sense? So we're doing all of these things that fall in place, right, and trying to mitigate the odors and control the odors around this area. But the folks that need to step it up, they know we're here. They know what we're doing. We had a meeting last week where somebody complained about the odor. So everybody reads the minutes and hears about it, and it's in the newspaper. Bill, wherever Bill is, mm-hmm. He puts it in the newspaper. So everybody knows what we're doing. We just don't know what they're doing. And we could talk to Amanda or whoever it is up at the county to tell them to step it up. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, and we're still here. Mm-hmm. So when we're doing everything, which we are, that you're talking about, and it doesn't happen, we're still here. And we still have the same thing. We're down 5,000 tons of food waste. So I don't think it's us. I think it's them. And when people want to say, well, maybe you guys aren't doing enough. No, we did more than enough, because nobody told us to do what we did so far to make sure that we are prepared. So I think credit to Tim for handling the money and Larry for being our regulator and being understandable and the food waste that we did do, 5,000 tons, that's a lot. That's all food waste. You know, what else happens is up to the county, up to the enforcement of the health department. So we're here, we're ready to go, but we can't tell the haulers what to do. We can't tell the businesses what to do. We have no enforcement capacity, nor do I think it should be our role. I think it's the health department. And I think that's what the law says, right?
It's the health department.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at, you know.
They're not doing anything.
There's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know what I mean? We got the water.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, I agree with everything you guys are saying. Don't forget for 1 minute that we have an ace in the hole with the health department and Tim Rose at the level that he just went in at, and he understands this problem just as well as we understand it. And maybe it's about time that we invite Tim to one of our meetings and say, hey, Tim, what can we do about legislation to make this mandatory? I think there's something to be said there.
And if not Tim per se, communicating with the health department that we're ready to handle the material, that they could direct businesses to be source separated and beat that drum on a regular basis until the material starts showing up and they do more to match our level of effort. If Tim's a person that
I think
we
Tim
should
is
address
the person
letter
to, talk
to, great.
Yeah.
I think you copy the county executive and say, and Mr. Donaldson and the legislature as well. So you created this. We have capacity. We want to let you know month by month by month, it's underutilized. We're not seeing your law implemented. And that's to my point, Angie. For them to then say, oh, well, we'll delay it because of, is it this list, is it that list? Get going. I don't care which list it is. Figure it out. Don't delay it. Figure it out.
Sure. And just so the board does have the full perspective on the enforcement, this is another challenge to rolling out the law, because it's not just solely the health department, right? Because they may oversee food service establishments, but they don't regulate the full community of regulated generators. So weights and measures, ag and markets, health department, it has to be a collaboration of all these various entities that oversee the types of facilities like hospitals and nursing homes and schools, right? They have meal services there, but they don't all fall underneath the health department. So it truly is very complex how to get this program up and running. So just so the board has the full perspective on that, it is not solely the health department that is tasked with this, and that's the conversation that's ongoing.
Yeah, for, not to beat this horse to death, but briefly, in the history of solid waste management, that situation that you just described with diffuse authority getting sorted out and placed in the hands of a single entity, that has had to happen time and time again. There was a time where hospital waste incinerators were not regulated by the Department of Health and were not regulated by DEC. They were regulated by a hospital accreditation entity that I'm not even sure exists anymore. And the state legislature went through the process of sorting out and consolidating that authority within DEC based on there's air emissions, that's DEC. We may be at an early stage with food waste as well, and it may be that the county should give this agency authority to go and regulate directly. If nobody else is going to get it done or the authority is diffuse and it's not happening. So I think I made the point and made a broad suggestion that we look at all of the mechanisms, and I heard Charlie make a specific suggestion about contacting the Department of Health, whatever that's worth.
Okay, so we move on to
Chairman Fun, Captain, this is Anna Green. I wonder if you would allow me
no.
to make a point of information.
No,
I'm sorry. Not right this minute.
We have a public comment period later or something?
Well, we had public comment in the beginning, so now we're caught in the middle of. Let's see how we do with time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get on to the treasurer's report.
All right, month of March, we did 8,574 tons on the W, 8,253 tons of C&D. A revenue line out of the note is, you'll see HHW MWR FSR grant, 57,907, and that relates to monies received from actually our 2019 HHW events. Total revenues for the month is $1,490,951. Down on the expense side, administration expense a little bit higher at $35,108, and that relates to progressive billings for our 2020 audit, the amount of $10,500. Total operating expenses for the month, $1,163,151. Net operating revenue is $327,800. I also noted we did our budgeted operating reserve transfer in, $146,227. And we have capital outlay related to the ongoing compost expansion, which is almost completely done, of $81,433, which gave us a fund balance for the month of a positive $392,594. And our year-to-date is a deficit of
$1,214,448. Okay. Now we need to approve the treasurer's report.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Lisa, make the motion. I'll second it.
Roll call. Captain Brian Kaufman.
Yay.
Joanne Myers.
Joanne?
Charles Landy?
Yes.
Lisa Mitten?
Aye.
Councilor Candies?
Aye.
Okay, passes 4-0, one abstention.
Okay. The merge cost analysis?
Sure. So the month of March, you'll see a number of these items are pretty much in line with our 2020 monthly average. The outlier here was February as we sold plastic. And some of our markets are a little bit higher this year than they were last year. So we should see that hopefully continue on the rest of the year. So total set of recyclables for the month was 29,719. Transport and disposal costs, 4,970, which gave us net revenue of 24,749. Personnel expenses for the month, 37,044. Operating expenses, 9,978, which total personnel and operating is 47,022, which gave us a net loss of 22,273, and year to date is 23456, 23,456. Not too bad. I would say right now, so far, the revenues with regard to cell recycling is helping to offset our compost. Losses.
Any comments on the recycling market trend report?
So I just wanted to echo what Tim just said. At our last online board meeting, I shared some feedback to Tim about how I feel like over the years, a number of these reports there's not much that goes on from month to month. And I'm just wondering if it might make more sense to focus on one thing that really jumps out to the staff that's worthy of bringing up if it comes up, or like every 3 months or every 4 months or every 6 months, like share the story of what's happened over multiple months as opposed to the month-to-month reporting. I mean, for many of these reports, it's often the same story, and maybe when something really changes or whether there are significant trends, that could really be highlighted as opposed to just regimented reports every month.
Yeah, because the MRF, just as an example, the MRF T&L started back in 2007, 2008, and there were considerations of mothballing the MRFs, which is why it was being looked at under that group, the executive back then. So you might just need to do a report on that.
Well, we could do it quarterly. I don't know. How do we feel about it?
The MRF report quarterly. Yeah.
The treasurer's report, we have to do every month.
Good idea.
I mean, this also applies, in my mind, applies to the MSW tonnage and the recycling tonnage reports.
Lisa, may I ask, are you suggesting in terms of the verbal review that we focus that on some topic of interest, but we just look through the paper report each month, or that we not bother with a paper report each month?
That doesn't matter to me. I guess the time we spend, mm-hmm. instead of reporting on month-to-month variations, if mm-hmm. we report on things of significance over time, or just report things are the same.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
How about we just keep getting the pages, but we skip over them at the meeting?
Okay. Well, if someone looks at you, look at the paper once, maybe when someone has a question during the meeting.
Sure. So if we were going to make that a little tidier statement, that we continue to get the data that we're getting, you're going to be processing that data in any case, and then we could focus at the board meeting on either questions from the board or a topic of interest or change that the staff might choose to highlight. Package that as a motion if that's a reasonable process step, Madam Chairman.
That sounds like a motion to me from Tom.
I'll second.
Okay.
Didn't mean to steal your motion there, Lisa.
No.
on the motion, I have a point of interest here, and I think anytime any particular item comes up that you have a point of, you could feel free to bring it up. And Lisa, you're very vocal with this kind of stuff, and that's good. But I don't want to lose the month-to-month comparisons for this reason. If we're heading for trouble, you'll see it first in your month-to-month comparisons. And you can go on down any one of the items that we're dealing with and pick it out, and then talk to our controller, executive director, and talk about the direction that we're heading in. If we continue to head in that direction, we're going to have trouble. So I think the month-to-month evaluation of the Treasury report and the MRF are something that I don't think we want to give up.
I think this motion does not apply to the Treasurer's report.
And I was going to suggest legally, I think we should have the Treasurer's report monthly. The other MRF,
yes.
I'm not so sure.
This applies to the MSW tonnage report, recycling tonnage report, and the MRF cost analysis.
So.
And maybe this other page we get, recycling market trend report, which I have a question about. Where's this revenue in the box and points to the last digit, or last point on the graph?
Mm-hmm.
What is that revenue number? Is that for the year to date or what?
Nope, that's the month. You'll see it tie into your that particular commodity. You'll see it tie into your sale or recycle line for that commodity and the merch cost analysis.
It's the data point that is connected by the call box, Tim.
Yep, so that way you can see the trending of the, you know, the return.
That's what I understood it to be.
I see. Oh, right. Okay, that makes sense. Yep, got it. Okay. So let's see, are we ready to vote on the motion?
I think we have to define exactly what we're voting on.
Okay.
I think that this applies to, this motion applies to the MSW tonnage report, the recycling tonnage report, and the MRF cost analysis. That the information be provided on a monthly basis, but rather than going over the details of each report, that staff think big picture and talk about overall trends and anything of significance, such as anything that's concerning, and we talk about what's important rather than the numbers on a monthly basis.
So
I think
written reports sent monthly, sent before each board meeting, and they'll be discussed only if the board member wants to. That's what you're
or staff.
Right. Or staff. Okay. Ready to vote? Catherine
yes.
Beinkoffner.
Yes.
Joanne Myers, not here. Charles Landy.
I have some reservations about this, and I understand where you're going and what you're trying to do, but I think losing the month to month on every one of the items becomes a problem. I think we should definitely keep that in our capacity to evaluate. And to
be clear, Charlie, just to try to address your concern, I think that the motion that I made was also that we would address any questions that the board members might raise in addition to points that the staff might raise or highlight.
You're going to get a written report. So if you have an issue,
there's no loss of data being provided as opposed to right now. We're just talking about maybe more focused discussion on what's changed. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense, but I don't want, I feel as though we've been doing this for so long.
Charlie, you're a no vote.
Yeah, I'm a no vote, yes. I just wanted to explain my vote. I don't want to lose any of this information on a month-to-month basis.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Tom Kakandis.
Aye.
Okay, passes 3-1.
And since we're talking, I hear what you're saying.
But I don't know what.
I heard a noise as well, Kathy. Was that Joanne?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Joanne, are you there?
No.
Calling Joanne.
Sorry, it takes a while. Unmute.
Did you vote? How would you like to vote?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Okay, yes for Joanne. Thank you.
4-1.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, resolutions, Madam Chairwoman.
Okay, just 1 minute. Okay. Let's move on to our resolutions. First one, 2536, authorizing for salary adjustments for administrative staff positions. Is,
Mr. Executive Director?
Yeah, so this relates to the 2021 year for my administrative staff. I'm asking you guys to approve giving me the ability to offer a range of salary increases for my staff.
Hold on, you're not coming across, Tim.
Something's going on.
I need to go back to muting.
Joanne, we've had to mute your line. I'm sorry, it sounds like you had trouble getting unmuted. Maybe we can practice that again. You're just having a lot of feedback. So I've muted your line. This is Angelina. This is Joanne, the 50 number here. But she should be able to unmute because I'm seeing that that setting is checked here. So I apologize for any inconvenience to you, Joanne.
Excuse me. Okay. So back to resolution 2536.
So this will be for the 2021 fiscal year, and I'm asking the board to grant me the ability to, I've done performance evaluations for my staff, and based on that, giving me the ability to give raises between 2 and 5%. One thing I really want to stress in regards to 2020 and the pandemic, this agency was required to stay open throughout. And you know, my staff went above and beyond, dealing with schedule changes, dealing with, you know, we didn't know what was going on with COVID when it first started, and we still have people coming in, we still have to deal with the public face-to-face, nobody complained, nobody grunted. Staff picked up for other staff when they were out of the office because we were forced to, you know, reduce, you know, staff in person 50% at times. And I have zero complaints, and I'd really like to, you know, reward my staff for the work that they've done by going above and beyond, by risking their, you know, their own lives. And because even when we decided to close down the office to the public, we still had people knocking on doors. We still had people knocking on windows and, you know, and sticking their heads in our windows. So the risk was still there. They still dealt with it all. They never complained once, and we got through it very, very well.
And I did review the performance evaluations of the individuals, and I think they certainly deserve what Tim is recommending. So, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Okay, Lisa.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call vote. Catherine Bonkaufman.
Aye.
Joanne Myers.
She muted.
We'll come back to
that.
Charles Landy. Charles Landy.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Tom Kakandis.
Aye.
Passes 5-0.
Resolution 2537, authorizing and approving the contract for community solar subscription with NextAmp Incorporated.
Okay, this was, we hired a consultant. There was no cost to us with a consulting firm called U-Source for solar. This is to issue an RFP for us to buy into community solar. This is something actually that the county is doing as well. That we learned afterwards. So they put us out for RFP.
I'm not looking in the window because my eye is going to leave this fitting. Oh.
Hey, Joanne, could you mute?
I can't mute, so you have to mute me.
All right.
She's the 50 number that's called it.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how to do it.
And we'll just go right here from green to red.
Oh, you just click on that?
Yep, she's this 50 cool. number. Sorry about that.
You're gonna learn, Lisa.
So U-Source put us out the RFP. We did get one reply. We have 6 meters, just so everybody knows. You'll see that there was actually two contracts attached, just in case, because our DMF and our NERF, that meter does the same amount of uses the same amount of electricity as the other five combined. So just in case they had to split it into two different farms. So the company is called NextAmp. I believe the firm is scheduled to be completed within about 12 months. It's going to be in Highland, New York. And basically, we're going to save 10% on our energy bills. So Central Hudson sends us a bill. When we generate $100 in credit, NextAmp bills us $90. So that's the way it works.
We have no overdue.
So
you don't
good
pay
question.
Anything to anybody.
And it sounds like they're expecting to go live next year,
yep.
Tim, is
yep.
that right?
Yep.
So I see it says it becomes effective the date of the contract, but in reality, we wouldn't see any effect in our finances until it does become live and credits start to flow.
Yeah, I asked that question too.
Right. I'm just stating it out loud to make sure that I'm understanding what I'm reading correctly. And then the term wasn't jumping out at me. Where's the term?
It's a 3-year term that we signed on for, and mm-hmm. we can get out of it. So at the end of every 3 years, within 120, or prior to 120 days of the end of that specific 3-year term, we can get out of it, and the renewals go up to 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know how many kilowatt hours we use every year?
Yeah, that's been there. If you go to the very back page of your staple, you'll see the, like I mentioned, the 5 altogether, and the reference is 391,476 kilowatt allocation. And then I believe on the first page of the other contract, it would be the second page in the packet. It was almost the same just for the 1 meter, 353,000.5 kilowatt.
I'm sorry, where do I look? Or what page?
Turn it over to the last page, you'll see
on the back of the last page here. So those are our 5 meters that they group together. And then if you go to the second page, you'll see the remaining, which is our 6th one that's on its own on a contract, which is our DMF and our MRF, which uses the most electricity.
Okay, so this is a bunch of them.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this is the 6th one.
Yep.
I see. Okay. And Tim, was there any discussion about why this was 3 years versus annual?
No, that's just the offers that they submitted those terms.
Hmm. In essence, there's a new credit mechanism that's somewhat separate from community solar that within a 3-year range could be more beneficial to the agency. It takes time for anything to happen, and the contract's date for the 3-year term starts when we sign it, right?
Yes. No, it starts, the agreement starts when we sign it, it's in effect, but the actual 3-year term doesn't start until it comes online.
Hmm. So that becomes functionally from now a 4-year commitment.
It could be 4 years. I know me personally, it took 2 years to run out of water.
Right. Yeah, I mean, when you have an automatic renewal mechanism, I don't understand why we would want to sign something that was more than a year. Since functionally, if you don't give notice, it works exactly the same way. But was that explored with Nexamp? I mean,
And I didn't negotiate anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can go back to them to try and negotiate it.
So I'll make a specific motion and suggestion that I don't see in reality anything wrong with this proposal in terms of 10% is pretty standard for community solar. Nexamp's one of the bigger players in this market, and it's an in-county project. Strictly speaking, community solar is assignable within the Central Hudson region, so there's reason for us to support a project within Ulster County preferentially, since we have that purview. I would suggest that it's more protective of the agency's interest to ask Nexamp to rewrite the contract as an annual agreement, because 2 years from now, you might decide to expand facilities here and build your own solar, and then your meter is tied up in what's functionally a 4-year agreement from today. So that's my suggestion, that we renegotiate with it. They will, I guarantee you, be happy to take your year renewing contract or make it 2 years, but 3 years is not actually in our interest, is my suggestion.
I guess we have a motion to table this resolution. Does anyone second it?
I'll second that, only in so much as there's some good points made here, so I'll second that, yes.
Okay, we have a vote.
Wait, so why do we not want to sign on to a good 3-year deal?
Because a good 1-year deal is exactly the same as a good 3-year deal, but it gives us more flexibility year to year. The only difference.
Also cancel us.
That's what I was thinking.
That if you're a buyer on the scale of 300 kilowatts, they're not going to cancel you. Their cost to deal with 100 people that are 3 kilowatts versus buyers like us, there's not a lot of buyers like us. It's only 300,000 customers in Central Hudson Territory. And out of those, 1,000 buy 300 kW or more. And I only say that because I once represented one of the top 5. And it happens to be the business with which I'm familiar that is unrelated to solid waste. So anyway, in essence, Nexamp will give you all of the same benefits with more flexibility if we ask for it. And I'm suggesting we ask for that.
Okay, since we table this, Tim,
we haven't voted on it yet.
Yeah, we
have. Well, I mean, if we vote to table it, Tim, it'll give you the time to answer those questions as far as, and then come back at the next meeting with it.
And sure. And Charlie's making an accessory point, Lisa. If it's tabled a month, but the facility is not coming online for a year, there's nothing lost tabling it for a month. We're not gaining anything in that month except making a commitment.
Well, the information will be, some of the information will be clearer to us.
I'm just saying no credits will be lost right in the course of the next month or the next 6 months minimum.
So I
just want to share a point that it is my understanding that contracts with solar developers are significantly changing at this very moment, and the entire New York State marketplace is going to change. And due to new NYSERDA regulation that I do not know how it impacts community solar, though. And I just want to share that I do not know how this new NYSERDA policies, this might not be an option in 1 month.
I can guarantee you that's not the case.
So community solar is no way impacted by new NYSERDA REC policies that have been indexing REC policies that have been proposed to large-scale developers in the past 2 weeks.
In essence, what's happening is that there's going to be more diversity of folks offering contracts like this. Within a year, this agency could, in theory, I'm not even remotely making this suggestion, within a year, and it's the Department of Public Service that determines how credits get determined, not NYSERDA. So you can do solar at a facility like this. I'm in discussion with a private entity that owns some acreage in Kingston, for example. And you can flow the output to that private facility and flow the overflow to 1, 2, 3, 5 additional customers like community solar. That creates a whole additional source of credits. There's also going to be bill consolidation. This is not a bill consolidation deal. This is they put credits on a bill and we pay for those separately from our bill. So this is what was available up until recently, and that's diversifying in the course of the next couple of months. Nexamp, from a cost of sale standpoint, and full disclosure, I manage the credit sales and the development of the very first community solar project in Ulster County and downstate New York. It was the third built in New York State.
I think solar is the wave of the future. 1 month for more information isn't going to hurt this.
Yeah, Charlie, and I agree with you. Lisa's making a point that people who are developing new facilities are not being offered the same level of credit incentive called the Community Distribution Generation Credit as the folks that have facilities in process. But the scale of the facilities that receive the old incentives, NextAmp has 12 of them alone. So I'm simply framing the likelihood that NextAmp is not going to want to pursue this contract is almost nil. They have five more facilities with the same level of credit that they need to fill, and they have competitors that would give us the same deal.
I think a call for the vote on whether or not to table.
Yeah. Roll call. Catherine Bynum.
Yes.
Joanne Myers. She's probably muted.
Oh, she's muted.
We have to unmute her, right?
Joanne, I sent a request to unmute you.
Charles Landy.
Yes, for the 1 month delay, yes.
Lisa Mitten?
Yes.
Tom Kakandis?
Yes.
Well, it passes anyway.
Okay.
Joanne, are you a yes or no?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm a yes for a 1 month delay with the set.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any old business? Any new business?
I have new business.
Okay, what do you have?
Well, I just want to bring up that I'm going to have an individual doing a GIS feasibility analysis for the agency, utilizing the following variables and data sources. They'll be taken into consideration for Ulster County, areas protected by New York State DEC, like the New York City watershed, the Hudson River, environmental justice communities, and other protected lands and bodies of water. Major roads and highways, topography, soil composition, and potentially others that arise throughout the research process. It's going to complete a geospatial analysis utilizing ESRI's ArcGIS Pro to analyze how these variables that I stated interact and demonstrate what areas of the county may be suitable for the potential construction of a solid waste landfill. So we're taking a step in that direction. Really, I think the goal here is to see what we can cross off in the county that's not suitable.
Who's going to be doing that?
The individual's name is Seth Laxman.
Waxman?
Lax, L-A-X-M-A-N.
And I'd like to just interject a thought here. Remember, not so long ago, maybe 2 months, we had a meeting with the DEC. And Terry Tutula, who is the executive director for Region 4, Region 4? Region 3 for this region, and she highly recommended hiring a consultant or someone to give us, a geologist in this case, to give us information as to whether or not there is a parcel in Ulster County that could be used for a landfill. And I think based on her recommendation, I think this should be a go.
So in essence, a GIS-based review is sort of a pre-screening toward maybe a more detailed geology examination.
Exactly.
Of what,
there's the
what,
doctor.
If anything remains.
There's the rock doctor right there, so.
Sure.
So
We'll take advantage of that, I imagine. But in essence, we're narrowing the scope of what might be looked at.
Right, exactly.
Is that a correct statement, Tim?
And Tom, what's driving this is that the clock is ticking on Seneca Meadows. As you, I don't know how much you know about it, but if we have 2 or 3 years left, and then all of a sudden we're going to get a phone call that says we can no longer take your trash, we have a major problem.
I have walked the face of Seneca Meadows myself. I'm familiar with it. Not lately, but not a tourist attraction.
We get updates from them, so.
Sure.
I think, Larry, you know something about that, too.
Wait, so, Tim, how long are they thinking that this would take?
He's only said it would take about 16 hours.
Uh-huh.
He started this week.
Wow. And then there'd be some further amount of time to report back to you and the staff, and that person would be available to review results with you and the board, potentially? Great. So is that something we need to make a motion on to authorize, or you can just do that out of operating budget and you're just informing us?
Yes, correct.
Okay, thanks for clarifying for my understanding. That sounds super.
I would feel better if there was a resolution to this effect. I would feel better. I mean, it's not something we have to do right here, right now, but at some point in time, it's about this geologist doing this work, and it's all pretty much laid out.
I'm happy to make a motion to commend the staff for acting on this opportunity to add to our information base.
If that was a motion, I'll
second. That was my motion.
I'll second it.
Okay.
And the motion is exactly what?
To commend the staff for taking action within their purview on gathering this information for us.
And it's pretty much detailed here, and you might want to make copies for some of the others at some point in time.
A resolution for that. Just commending the staff.
We can just pat Tim on the back anytime we want. Right. Is that right, Mr. Killian?
Yes.
Okay. Consider yourself padded in a COVID-safe way, Tim.
Well, Alicia had a lot to do with this also. As a matter of fact, the letter originally came from you, Lisa, right, in reference to this?
Tim and I have been discussing this for a little while.
So what is this paper Charlie handing you?
I can forward it to you. It's just a proposal that I just wrote.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to look at it, because there's a whole bunch of things in Part 360 that... need to be looked at. Okay.
Catherine, I just want to, old business, just inform the board that we did get our permit for the Ulster location. So we do have possession of that permit now. And the modification.
You said you got the permit?
Yes.
Good.
And the modification, as Angie stated earlier, for the educational bagging building?
Yep.
So we're all set on that. I do have to get back to the DEC on an update on an odor plan within 30 days, and also a fire plan within 60 days. So I'll be doing that before the expiration of the.
So if you got notification that the permit has been approved, you could proceed.
I got the permit.
You got the permit.
We are in possession.
That's
of
even
the
better. So you could proceed at any time with what we're doing there, right?
We, as Angie stated, we have proceeded. So the building was ordered last November, and the folks have had it for quite some time, and they were instructed to deliver and erect the building.
Okay.
So Andy, that's why Angie gave you the 1 week to 2 week possibility, because the building is already available. It's just getting it here from North Carolina.
Oh, good. And then we can start doing bagging if we had compost.
Correct. And most importantly is we, you know, listen.
Now that we're out of compost.
Most importantly, you know, these are tough times, right? A lot of folks are got hybrid schedules, so I think what's really, really important is we did get our permit. So I'm very relieved and happy that we have an operation permit, because I know for the STA, Angie was waiting for that to submit that for the certification for our compost. So that's a major accomplishment. So I'm very happy.
That's good. That's very good.
Well, we've been waiting, so it's time to build.
We're still waiting on new pulse, but I would imagine that's soon to follow, right?
Oh, on the permit.
For new pulse.
I had a separate question. By the way, great to have a permit in hand always, but totally separate question. I was able to use the Aqua mechanism for buying a rain barrel, and those are getting picked up this weekend, Saturday. Is that a larger event, or is it just the handing out of stuff that got ordered?
Yep, it'll just be the bin distribution on that day, but it'll be in conjunction with the electronics recycling program will be happening simultaneously. Anyone who signed up to get a bin will have education that's passed out at the time. We're giving away free food scrap kitchen caddies.
I think that's it.
I thought it was very convenient and nicely organized.
So it'll be mostly just the bin distribution on that day. There's not going to be like a park and get out and get a tour.
Sure. Stop, load up your thing,
this one was the zero waste, and this is the board meeting, and that's okay as it is. May 24th. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah. In conjunction with
at, so they at won't be o'clock. Headed down that
probably
piece at all.
An in-person meeting like this one.
Outside the main office where we collect e-waste.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Getting a rain barrel.
Motion to adjourn.
Lisa, you want a second?
Second.
Charlie.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
It is
1:35. You probably know Mr. Ricky is Dave Vitale still at the department? Peter retired, right? Peter Pettit?
If you just do your cell phone mute, doesn't impact the WebEx system.
Oh, God.
I've been on a WebEx large meeting where I was supposed to say something, and I didn't.
I had a great working relationship. Kelly Totoro is the regional director. Is outstanding. Terry and I have worked.
Linda
sent me a really nice card, and in there she goes, I'm looking to leave this spring. She's extended.
Yes, I will.
No one knew.
Good.
Right.
We're looking forward to it.
You're gonna want.
I have a couple of printers.
Terry was always a very dedicated person. We worked together.
No doubt.
Because in the past, the agency had to pay upfront for all the bids.
Wonderful.
That we wanted, like, let's say we ordered 300.
So this way, everybody paid.
Everyone paid through a vendor, and the flow of cash doesn't go through us at all. And all of the logistics, like, they just show up with all the bins, and then they're gone in one hand.
Her and I had a joke.
Whereas before, they would deliver 300 bins, and we had to stockpile them and all that. So it'll be good.
She's losing. She's probably losing $50 or $60 a day showing up.
Okay, great. Yes.
She's losing money, so it's personal.
It'll be very good. So I'll see you on Monday.
Is she at 23?
Okay.
This is that last one.
Yeah.
I drove by and like I looked that way. I was like, and then you were like big.
I've never met her before.
She's 38.
Oh,
I actually know the chef.
She went to.
And he's a friend of mine from high school, and I've never gotten around to going. So Brett and I went, and I'm so glad that we did.
Oh, yeah. I think Terry was an 18 when I met her.
What do you call it? Egg Benedict.
She was here, right here.
Yeah.
A great person.
These are the minutes.
I didn't mean to hold you up.
No, no, no.
We don't have that often.
Thanks for participating on a volunteer basis. Nice to meet you, sir. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to getting a tour at some point, catching up with the details of what you live with, so I understand that.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
no problem. Let me know.
You know, I didn't chime in. We're talking about the food release program that's going on here.
Yeah.
These guys are heads and shoulders above. I did all the inspections for the region, Center County. And Ulster County, I was sending people here to do their operations. And what started out as a pilot program has blown up.
I hate me too. We always
have problems with the repairs.
I think we have a green here.
I'd like us to beat our chest about it a little bit and take credit and push on others to, you know, do their part, whatever it is. And honestly, it sounds to me like it needs to go to the county executive's office as, hey, you want to say you're green? Make this happen.
It's hard to know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
I have applications on my own.
State of Florida. I thought you were talking about the town of Florida.
And in
If I generate a lot of material and Nick's making money off of me, Nick ain't gonna come to me and nickel and dime me. me for everything that he throws away. He's not going to give me that information. He wants to know my volume coming in. He's making money. Recycling is a business. People fail to realize that. Nobody is doing it for nothing. There's a reason why this management is a $19 billion company. They've been number one for 3 decades. You know what I mean? When you go to Japan, there's waste management factors in the streets. There's a reason why waste management don't do it. It's a business. We talk about pizza boxes and everything else. It's very dependent. It's market driven. People don't understand that. I could tell Larry you have to take pizza boxes and Nick to be throwing them away. But I still take them because it means it's being recycled.
And listen, they can say whatever they want. We went to Albany.
Yeah, I'm not going to say.
There's some other ones I watched. I lived in Seattle for a while.
But yeah, no, that's a good point. But still, there's that re-education.
There's certain stories that are 20 years that are coming from a mile away.
It's so different.
You know, I got to tell you, one of the things that really frustrates me the most, right? It's price. Number one, I hate it. It's terrible. Like, it's a price. Plastic was made in 1945, right? By 1960, it was somewhat safe in the first food containers. By 1960, we knew plastic was in the ocean. Just like we were in the climate change. Nobody did anything about it. It was one long holiday. And now everybody wants to get involved. I don't know. You want to recycle plastic to make more plastic. Why don't you go back to glass? Why don't you start putting some refrigerants in the glass? Pickle jars.
The History Channel, man's greatest achievements. You know what that one was? Plastic.
It makes a difference.
Nobody has ever said there's too much glass in the ocean.
Black
well, it's interesting. I wonder if that awareness of what you're saying is starting to sink in, Charlie.
I don't think it is. You know why? Because it's about product loss. That's why. It's about the Coca-Cola bottles breaking.
And I was like, not recycling the walls.
Half the manpower, and everything like so. I went to Florida.
No, it's like
low
half of it.
Why am I still paying the same rate?
They took five trucks off the road, 15 people out of jobs, right? Back in 91, they raised the rate of the house, right? Because residential is where the money is, by $5 to get their house to recycle. They never gave the $5 back, right? They raised the rate, and now you know what? As much money as they're making, because let's face it, right? Recycling is going into the landfill. I don't care what it is. Whether we want to admit that or not, it is, right? And what are we doing about it? Well, we can't do anything about it because it's a single stream from garbage. It's a bunch of pools and garden hoses and food waste. That's what it is. It's absolute abuse. So how do you fix a problem where you don't know where it's broken? Well, we do know where it's broken. It's broken on the collection. And that's where it needs to be fixed. And that's the attention that people need to, especially all the family needs to see that. So here's the thing. The whole thing that they're now it's like somebody's looking at it and saying, well, but our body to the landfill, our disposal fee, we're not paying
10%.
And now they're saying, okay, well, we need to flex them at my back. So now they go back and they charge us. They get never gave $5 back. Now they're charging us $8 right a month for
COVID might be the best argument for putting off the enforcement date. I would wanted to raise the topic. But, you know, authorize a compliance officer for recycling. Is that a third position? Is that a new body that you get?
No, that's a new body that I get. That position, you know, is really. Listen, Everybody says it, right? What are you doing about referrals? What about complaints? Put that money in your budget. There's nothing we can do since 2008.
How much can we, like, really motivate you?
You guys are working on recycling, right? What are good laws? We're having a book right now. No. Give us the enforcement. Give us the law, Doug, so we can bring these people in front of you and charge them $1,000 per incident per day. So we can force them to recycle. Court system is backed up 2 years. We have solid waste cases that you know, I just started. I've been retired since February. I'm starting to get the calls now that I have to come in, testify, do whatever, because nothing is opened up.
Right.
You know?
Oh, the court system just went on hold.
Went on hold, and they're just backed up.
Okay, but...
DEC is running on probably in the office daily is about
15%.
Well, the people are working from home, but some people have access to the DEC database, some people don't. So they might be doing administrative stuff at home, but they're not doing work that pertains to agencies and towns and whatever. So everything is in this massive delay.
Well, I'm hoping that this in-person meeting starts to spill over into the courts and some other, I mean, that new office building, it's not like people are on top of each other anymore, right?
No. But there's just no one in the building.